and welcome to the 13th Hour Podcast. This is episode number 91. I'm your host, Joshua Blum, and we're continuing on the theme from last 2 weeks, which was reading a compilation of Forgotten Realms fantasy short stories from the compilation volume called Realms of Valor, edited by James Loder. And today we are reading another one, and this one is called The Bargain, and it's written by Elaine Cunningham. And it's about a character called Arilyn Moonblade. So just like the other previous weeks, these are characters, I guess, that are popular in the like Forgotten Realms, Dungeons and Dragons kind of series, books, and role-playing games and stuff like that. I don't know any of them because I don't really know much about these kind of things. I'm sort of in the process of learning, so I'm probably going to butcher a lot of the names, so just excuse me. If I F that up too bad. So this one is a title illustration, shows a woman with a sword, and she's fending off two bandits, it looks like. One is lying down on the ground, and the other one has got two swords, and it looks like she's on the defensive. And there's another guy who is watching the whole thing and not helping. These illustrations are done by Ned Dameron. They're sort of pen and ink style sketches. They make a nice title plate for each chapter. So let's start reading The Bargain. The one thing Arilyn Moonblade hated above all else was being followed. But how do you know someone's trailing you? Demanded Arilyn's companion, a nattily attired nobleman who was picking his way delicately along the littered docks of Port Kir. If you haven't actually seen or heard anything suspicious, how can you be so sure? With a frustrated sigh, Arilyn tucked a handful of her dark curls behind one pointed ear. How could she explain to Danilo Than something that, to her, was both art and instinct? She just knew. There was a silent rhythm to stalking, a rhythm known only to the best hunters and rangers, and assassins. A wizard can sniff out magic, she said slowly, absently waving away an overeager merchant attempting to spray her with jasmine perfume. And I believe a paladin can often sense when evil is near. Ah. Danilo's gray eyes warmed with the understanding as he studied the distracted half-elf at his side. I take it that patience, for lack of a better word, has an aura of its own. Arilyn smiled without humor. Something like that. Has this been going on long? She shrugged. Since Imiskar. Since... The nobleman broke off abruptly, then let off a long hiss of exasperation. Arilyn, my dear, someone's been stalking us through two kingdoms, and you don't see fit to mention it? Never came up in conversation, is that it? This is the first time we've been alone, Arilyn said, a trifle defensively. Danilo glanced pointedly around the teeming marketplace. Beyond the docks of the Sea of Swords gleamed silver and in waning light, the horizon touched with a last faint pink of sunset. Most of the merchants were busy folding their bright silk tents and rolling out the mats that displayed pottery, crafts, and exotic produce. The crowds had not diminished, but evening shoppers generally had goods of a different nature in mind. We're alone, you say? How odd, Danilo mused. I've often been alone with beautiful women, and things have never been quite so hectic or noisy. Not initially, at any rate. You know what I mean, the half-elf said curtly. For many days, she'd had little opportunity to speak to Danilo in private. They had arranged to travel with a merchant caravan en route from the northern trade city of Waterdeep to Camelopport, its southern companion in the south. Merchants were the only northerners welcome in parts of Tether, and it swept along on the tide of commerce. And Arilyn and Danilo had moved unquestioningly through the southern lands. Today, they were to begin their true mission. Arilyn and Danilo had been sent by the Harpers, the self-appointed guardians of freedom and justice in Faerun, to bring a warning to Tether's ruling Pasha. This was not an easy task, for Pasha Baelic wanted nothing to do with meddling northern barbarians. Repeatedly, he'd refused Harper messages or missives and attempts to gain the ear of someone in his inner circle. It also proved futile. Danilo had been charged with finding or creating a back door into the Pasha's court, and Arilyn's task was to keep the young nobleman alive during the process. Knowing Danilo as she did, Arilyn felt that her mission was sufficiently challenging without the added aggravation of an extra shadow. Despite the new problems he or she presented, the half-elf had developed a certain grudging respect for her pursuer. Granted, tracking a merchant caravan along the major north-south trade route was no test of skill. Avoiding detection for so long, however, was another matter. No other member of the company had realized that they were being stalked, not even the powerful Harper mage at her side. Erelin cast a sidelong glance at Danilo, who was idly whistling the melody of an off-color ballad. Few who knew the young man might guess that he was either Harper or wizard. Danilo Than was known as a dandy, an amateur mage whose spells comically misfired, a foppish dilettante with amusing pretensions toward bardhood. His self-satisfied smirk and extravagant attire bespoke wealth, ease, and privilege. In truth, Danilo cultivated that image. Prominently displayed on the amethyst silk of his jacket was the crest of a noble merchant family of the Northlands. His billowing trousers were tucked into impractical suede boots, and the voluminous sleeves of his silk shirt were embroidered with tiny runes in gold and violet threads. The nobleman's garments were loose and flowing, cut to mask his lean, powerful build, just as the sparkle of jewels on his sword's hilt distracted the eye from its keen and well-used edge. Danilo's facade made him an effective Harper agent, but it annoyed the nine hells out of Erelin. "It's getting late," she said abruptly. "Let's find a quiet place to plan our next move. Some food wouldn't hurt either." The nobleman's face lit up at the suggestion. "I know the very spot, local color, and all that." He took Erelin's arm and led her down a maze of alleys to the low wooden building that possessed all the charm of an abandoned warehouse. "Local color, just as promised," Danilo said with an enthusiasm as he swung open the door. He removed his plumed hat and tucked it under one arm, then patted his blonde hair carefully into place as he beamed down at her. "Isn't this splendid?" This was a tavern of sorts, a vast, sprawling tap room that was anything but splendid. If the room were thoughtfully swept and attired, it might qualify as squalid, Erelin noted with distaste. The tap room was crowded with tables and booths, most of them filled. It was a local haunt, judging from the smarthy faces and distinctive blue-purple robes of Tether's natives. The crowd comprised of men of all ages and social classes. Only men, Erelin noted. The row of doors lining the north wall of the tap room suggested that women were not entirely absent from the establishment. Danilo ushered Erelin into the room. The patrons nearest the door studied the new arrivals, their faces betraying a mixture of interest and hostility. At one table, however, three well-dressed locals eyed Erelin with speculation and began to argue. "Ah, Lord Than," proclaimed a nasal voice. Erelin turned to see a squat, dark-robed man waddling towards them, his pudgy hands outstretched in welcome. Danilo greeted the innkeeper by name, inquired after the health of his wives and children, and requested his customary table. The man ushered them to a corner table, which was already occupied, and dismissed a few lesser patrons with a few curt words in the local dialect. Beaming wildly, the innkeeper wiped the table with the sleeve of his robe, promised them a wine fit for Pasha Balak himself, and hurried off. "Is there one tavern in the world where you're a stranger?" Erelin asked him with a touch of asperity. Danilo pursed his lips and considered the matter. Before he could speak, a blue-robed man approached their table. "I am the servant of Akim Nadir," the man told Danilo, and he gestured toward one of the three men Erelin had noted earlier. "My master wishes to purchase your woman." Danilo placed a restraining hand on Erelin's arm. "Let me handle this," he said. Turning to the servant, he asked, "How much does your master offer?" 20 gold. "Danilo, this is no time for foolishness." "I quite agree," Danilo broke in. He reached across the table and patted her sword end as if consoling her. "You're worth several times that amount, I should say." "Let go of my wrist and get rid of this man," she said through clenched teeth. "And miss a chance to hone my bargaining skills?" 25, the servant suggested. Danilo shook his head, his face alight with mischief. "Aye, is the shame the desert sky," he noted in a wheedling tone. 30 gold, no more." "Look at her," Danilo persisted, deftly swiveling in his chair to move his shins beyond the reach of the half-elf's booted heels. "Have you seen such skin? Moonlight upon pearls. 100 gold would be a bargain. Meh. Perhaps 50. The servant allowed. Has she any special talents? Well, she's rather good with that sword of hers, Danilith said thoughtfully. Though I doubt that's what you had in mind. That's it, Erilyn jerked her hand free of Danilith's grasp. Rising to her feet, she glared down at the servant. Take your business elsewhere. The man blinked, not comprehending. A woman unveiled in such a place was surely for sale. To whom should I make an offer? He asked, his eyes darting around the room. Erilyn drew her sword. To this. And light glinted off the ancient moonblade, pooling in the elven runes carved down its length. The man's black eyes widened, and he stepped backward so abruptly that he stumbled over the hem of his robe. The matter settled to her satisfaction. Erilyn sheathed her sword and resumed her seat. Danilith shook his head. Your bartering technique could use a little work. Didn't it occur to you that he was serious? Erilyn demanded, stabbing a finger in the direction of the treating servant. The saying here is barter met is barter sealed. What would you have done if he'd met your price? I'd have asked him to throw in a couple of camels into the deal. Erilyn broke off, dropping her head forward. All right, I'll play. Why camels? For my mother, of course. The redoubtable Lady Cassandra bid me acquire something interesting for her stables, Danilo replied mildly. Erilyn fought against laughter, but the mental image of the elegant, water-haven noblewoman astride a camel was too much for her. You really ought to laugh more often. It becomes you. Ah, thank you, Danilo said as the innkeeper appeared at the table with two large goblets. The nobleman sipped his wine and praised it extravagantly. The grapes are grown on my own lands, the innkeeper said modestly. I'm honored that you were pleased. More than pleased, Danilo said. My family deals in fine wines, you know. Perhaps, if I were to join your guild, I could carry your wine and your fame to the north. The innkeeper's smile faded abruptly. I would like that very much, Lord Than, but I doubt it will be possible. You will excuse me. He bowed quickly and scurried away. What was that all about? Erilyn asked wearily. Danilo picked at a bit of cork out of his wine. You may have noticed that this establishment is not the sort of place I usually frequent. It is, however, a meeting place for guildmasters, and... Oh, didn't you see the sign outside? The Gilded Dagger? Terrible pun, but there you have it. Yeah, so? The guilds control every aspect of trade in Tether, which makes them rather influential. If Pasha Balik refuses to give the Harpers an audience, perhaps he'd listen to a representative from one of the local guilds. Danilo took another sip of wine. Namely, me. Erilyn choked on her wine and set down her goblet with a thunk. Danilo, the guilds are plotting to overthrow Pasha Balik. We're here to warn him, not join the other side. Guild membership would give me access to the Pasha's court, Danilo argued. Moreover, as a guild insider, I could find evidence that would force Pasha Balik to listen to us. It wasn't a bad plan, but Erilyn was in no mood to be generous. Which guild would you join? The Procurers? She asked in an acid tone. Oh, now there's a thought, Danilo said with a grin. Come now, Erilyn, don't tell me you're upset over that little harmless bartering. My asking price was too low, is that it? It's not easy to get into the guilds here, the half-elf said, ignoring his teasing. Membership is passed down from father to son, or you earn it through apprenticeship. You could buy your way in, I suppose, but these people are more likely to be impressed by a clever bargain than a pile of golden jewels. Do you have a plan? Not yet, Danilo admitted ruefully. I'll think of something, though. Oh, another thing. Erilyn leaned in closer and spoke with quiet urgency. If the guilds learn you're Harper, they'll assume you're here to meddle. Reasonable assumption, he broke in. And you'll be good as dead. I say keep away from them. Guild rule was attempted once in Waterdeep, Danilo reminded her, his voice suddenly serious. It was, to put it mildly, a disaster. Pasha Balik might have his faults, but he's the strongest leader in Tether and the best judge, or the best hedge against political chaos in the arena. If I do have to go through the guilds to get the Pasha's ears, I'll do it. As Erilyn nodded reluctantly to Danilo's plan, a grim possibility occurred to her. Perhaps the guilds allied against Balik, which would include the powerful Assassin's Guild, had already discovered their true Harper identity. That would explain the mysterious pursuer and his skill at stalking. Southern assassins were peerless killers trained at the secret college known as the School of Stealth. It also meant that the Gilded Dagger was the most dangerous spot in Port Kier for them to be lingering over a glass of wine. "Let's get out of here," she murmured, and quickly explained her fears. The nobleman was silent for a moment, then reached across the table and covered one of her hands with his. "Aralyn, we're not known as Harpers. If someone is indeed watching you, it's undoubtedly due to your unfortunate reputation as..." "Point taken," interrupted the half-elf quietly. Although she had worked for the Harpers for years, she was had recently joined their ranks, and few who knew of her would suspect her affiliation. She was known as an incomparable sword for hire, an adventurer, and an assassin. Given the political unrest in the area, the sudden appearance of a known assassin would be cause for concern. Any number of beleaguered rulers might want her watched. Danilo gave her hand a quick, sympathetic squeeze and then nodded toward the entrance. "Who do you suppose that man is?" Grateful for the change of subject, Aralyn glanced at the front door in time to see the innkeeper fold himself into a dark bow. The recipient of this courtesy was a lone man whose dark purple robes were drawn close against the southern chill of the night. Light glinted off a golden ring on his outstretched hand. "I wouldn't know. Does it matter?" she asked. "Might. Look where he's being seated." And the half-elf watched as the newcomer was escorted to the taproom's finest curtained booth. Just before the innkeeper drew the gaudy drapes, Aralyn caught sight of the newcomer's face. He was beardless and probably no more than 14 or 15, and he returned Aralyn's scrutiny with the intensity remarkable for a boy of his age. "Here we go again," Danilo observed calmly. Aralyn followed the line of his gaze and immediately forgot about the youth. An enormous bearded man approached their table, his black mustache twisted with a sneer of challenge. "You wish to barter with your sword, eh?" taunted the man. He drew a scimitar, its broad, curved blade serrated across the inner edge, and leered down at Aralyn. "Let us make a bargain, elf woman." "You know the ordinances, Farag," the innkeeper scolded, rushes up to the table. He flapped his hands at the brute as if shooing chickens. "Outside, outside." As Aralyn rose from the table, she murmured to Danilo, "You're the one who likes to barter. Do you want to take this one?" Danilo brightened. "In a manner of speaking, yes. You handle the sword into the deal, though." The nobleman removed a large gold and amethyst ring from his finger and held aloft. "I'll wager this that the elf woman wins," he said loudly. There was a rumble of laughter, and soon a small crowd circled Danilo's table, arguing odds and laying bets. The half-elf suppressed a smile as she followed the tavern bully out into the street. She knew what Danilo would bet against his ring and her skill. Full guild membership. The gilded dagger emptied as its patron followed the combatants outside. Aralyn noted that the strange, intense lad was among the crowd. To her eyes, he looked troubled and oddly disappointed. But other, more pressing matters demanded her attention, so Aralyn turned back to her opponent. Drawing her sword, she held it before her in a defensive stance. If at all possible, she wouldn't harm more than the man's pride. The big man shrugged off his outer robe, bearing massive arms and a thick torso gone soft around the middle. "What price does your sword require?" he asked, clearly enjoying himself. "Or do I let it draw first blood?" The crowd laughed at his jest. "Offer the sword a new scabbard and get on with it, Farag," one man called. "Why tire the elf woman in battle?" The answering chorus of bawdy laughter erupted, faded, when the fighters crossed swords. For several moments, Aralyn simply parried the blows, giving Danilo the chance to raise the stakes on his wager. It proved to be a good strategy. Before long, a sheen of perspiration glistened on the man's dark skin, and his breathing grew labored. When his confident sneer wavered and disappeared, a murmur began to ripple through the crowd. The game forgotten, Farag put his full strength behind each slash of the scimitar. The bloodlust in his eyes proclaimed that Aralyn was no longer a prize to be won, but an enemy who must die. With a fierce yell, the southerner delivered a backhanded blow, striking Aralyn's forearm with the dull edge of the scimitar. The force of the blow jarred her to the bone and knocked her sword from her numbed hand. Farag shuddered again, this time in triumph, as he raised the scimitar aloft for a final strike. The nimble half-elf ducked and rolled clear of the descending blade, and drawing a dagger from a boot, she threw herself upward. Her knife drove hard under the opponent's ribs and found his heart. Aralyn felt more than heard the faint metallic click as her steel met yet another blade. With a puzzled frown, she yanked her knife free, and the huge man fell forward into the street. From the corner of her eye, Erlyn noted that Danilo had become the center of an arguing, gesticulating crowd. Unnoticed by the tavern patrons, Erlyn stooped over Farrakh's body. As she suspected, a knife protruded from between his third and fourth ribs. She pulled it out, and her eyes widened. Curved on the handle was a curving calcite rune? Is that C-A-L-I-S-H-I-T-E. Calcite. I don't know. Garland had seen the symbol before. It was the badge of pride, carved into each and every weapon owned by an assassin trained at the School of Stealth. Oh, dun dun dun. And as she turned the knife over, she found many small markings scored into the handle, one for each person the knife's owner had killed. Arlen tucked the weapon away in her boot, and her eyes scanned the dark streets, although there was no sign of her mysterious quote-unquote rescuer. But she could sense that he was neared. Determined to catch him, Arlen hurried to Danilo's side and grabbed his arm. "Let's go." "Soon," he said in a smug tone. "I'm bartering for guild membership. Given time, I might even get them to throw in those camels for Lady Cassandra." "Now," she insisted, giving him a sharp tug. His lazy smile never faltered as he shook his head and peeled her fingers from her arm. Holding her hand in both of his own, he kissed her palm, then briefly rested it against his heart. The courtly gesture was a pointed one. Through the fabric of the dandy's jacket, Erlyn felt the outline of his concealed harper pin. "Remember why we're here," he murmured. By the time Danilo had been sworn into the wine merchant's guild of Tether and brought several rounds of drinks for his fellow businessmen, a frustrated Erlyn had discarded any thought of pursuing the mysterious man who had stalked her, then tried to save her. Not until the gilded dagger's last patron staggered out into the night did she have a chance to tell her story. Danilo agreed that they should try to catch her pursuer with as much discretion as possible to avoid compromising their larger task. The best way to do that, assuming the skilled tracker would still be on Erlyn's tail, would be to draw him away from the crowds of Port Kyr. The Harpers quickly retraced their steps to the camp their caravan had made on the city's outskirts. They made their excuses to the caravan leader, claimed their horses, and set off south through the forest of Tether. The night was dark, and the pale silver moon did little to dispel the deep gloom of the forest trail. Even though the road was wide enough to allow merchant wagons to pass, ancient trees met overhead in a thick canopy. On either side of the trail grew a tangle of vines and underbrush. Merchant caravans usually braved the forest of Tether only by day to avoid the bandits and the wild beasts that prowled the forest after nightfall. Knowing this, the Harpers rode without speaking, and kept alert for the small signs of danger. Daybreak was near when the half-elf finally caught sight of her pursuer. Feeling secure behind his leafy screen, the assassin had ventured close enough for Erlyn to get a look at him. More precisely, the half-elf's night vision detected the pursuer's body heat. By the complex pattern of colored light cast by the horse and rider, Erlyn could tell that the assassin was lithe and slender, with a proud bearing. His stallion, Amnion by the looks of him, seemed to share the rider's haughtiness as he moved on cloth-wrapped hooves through the shadowy forest. The night vision revealed other details, too. The thickness of the man's clothes, the length of his hair, even the small knife clenched in the assassin's hand glowed with his borrowed warmth, cooling to blued tones near the sharp tip. The knife puzzled Erlyn. Why would this man try to save her at the tavern only to attack her now? Determined to snare the elusive stranger and get some answers, she reached into her saddlebag and withdrew a small throwing knife attached to a coil of unbreakable spider silk thread. At one end of the thin rope was a small noose. This she slipped over the pommel of her handle. A quick tug secured the rope. The tethered knife at the ready, Arlen unpacked a small round disc, no bigger than the palm of her hand. After adjusting the tiny shield strap over her left hand, she hefted the small throwing blade to remind her muscles of its weight and balance. Her movements were so small and obtrusive that even Danilo did not note her preparations. From the corner of her eye, Arlen saw her pursuer slip down from his horse. Bent low, he crept silently toward her through the thick, night-shrouded underbrush. When only a thin strip of foliage separated him from the path, he straightened it to his full height and readied his own blade for the attack. Erlyn, too, sensed in readiness, or tensed in readiness. The assassin's throw went wide, spinning toward the flank of Danilo's horse. Erlen flung out her left hand, and the knife glanced harmlessly off the tiny shield in her palm. In the same instant, she hurled her own blade. It whizzed toward its target, the thin cord screaming after it. The half-elf's keen ears heard the silken whisper of the uncoiling thread, the rustle of leaves parted by the missile, and then nothing. I say, what's... Danilo's startled expression was cut short by the fierce expression on his companion's face. Erlen motioned for the nobleman to stay put, then swung down from her horse. The half-elf was certain her knife had hit its target, yet her victim had not cried out. Considering the weapon she had used, that was strange indeed. The knife was cunningly designed so that the tip would spread upon impact into four barbed prongs. The resulting wound was shallow, but it was painful and exceedingly messy. Nearly impossible to withdraw, the knife was effective as an effective way to stop and snare somebody at close range. Erlen silently parted the curtain of vines and took a look at her attacker. He stood in a small clearing, his back toward her. His head was turned in profile as he tugged at the weapon embedded in his hip. From the wound's location, Erlen could guess why his throne had gone wide. He must have spun around too far in his follow-through. He'd have to learn not to do that if he intended to hit anything. As Erlen watched, the assassin abandoned his attempt to withdraw the pronged blade. Drawing a small hunting knife, he began sawing frantically at the spider silk cord. Her gaze shifted toward Tor's face, and she recoiled in surprise. Her captive was the lad she'd seen back at the tavern. The boy had deep black eyes, a prominent hooked nose, and swarthy skin common to natives of the neighboring Kalishman. Since leaving the Gilded Dagger, he discarded his robes. Now clad in loose-fitting silk garments of dull, intermittent color, clothes that struck Erlen as being a uniform of sorts, and if the young assassin was a student of the School of Stealth, his skillful stalking and his stoic acceptance of pain would be a credit to his masters. His aim could use a little work, though. Erlen slipped silently into the small clearing. Moving directly behind the boar, she tapped him on the shoulder. Startled, he whirled toward her, dropping his knife in surprise. A flick of Erlen's boot sent the weapon flying under the underbrush. Shock claimed the young boy's face for only an instant, then his young features firmed in a grim mask. "Do you have a name?" Erlen asked in a calm tone. Her question took the boy by surprise. "Hasheth," he answered, before he could think better of it. He glared at her with a mixture of youthful bravado and fierce pride. "It would seem," Erlen noted wryly, "that I've been snared by a small hawk. That blade has to come out," she said. Even in a faint moonlight, she could see Hasheth blanch. A sympathetic smile curved her lips. "It's not as bad as you'd think. A hidden device on the handle releases the barbs, and they fold up as the knife withdraws. There's no more pain than any other shallow wound would cause." He paused and raised one eyebrow. "Do they teach you to withstand pain at the School of Stealth?" "Of course," he responded indignantly. "So, she was right about the boy," Erlen mused. "He was a student assassin." She stood and took a step forward. "You'll have to turn around," she suggested, and the boy drew back from her. "No man turns his back on an enemy," Hasheth proclaimed. "Really?" Erlen folded her arms. "In that case, you'd better prepare to walk back to the School of Stealth. You'll never sit on a horse with a knife in your..." "Enough!" And the lad silenced her with an imperious gesture. Pride and pain fought for dominance on his dark face. Finally, he turned, averting his eyes. "Quickly," he muttered, between gritted teeth. "I have not all night to waste." "Have a few other assassinations lined up, do you?" Danilo asked cheerfully as he strode into the clearing. "Didn't I tell you to wait?" Erlen asked. "Sorry," Danilo responded with a touch of repentance. "I would have died of curiosity. Let's have a look at your would-be assassin, should we?" The nobleman drew a bit of flint from the bag and hung on his waist and muttered an arcane phrase. His spell was rewarded with a flash of light, a small campfire appearing at the clearing center. "I say, that must have stung," Danilo said as he eyed the boy's messy wound. Hash's black eyes swept over the nobleman's silken attire and his expression of prissy dismay. The lad sniffed, and he turned aside, dismissing Danilo as one unworthy of notice or comment. "The knife?" Hasheth reminded Erlen. The half-elf selected a slender pick from a small tool pouch on her belt. She slid it into a hidden opening on the knife's elaborate handle, and when her keen ears heard the tiny click, she pulled the blade free. The boy's only response was a quick intake of breath. Danilo made an exaggerated show of sympathy, then took a vial from his leather bag and handed it to the boy. "A healing potion," the nobleman explained in response to Hesha's suspicious glare. I have no use for your barbarian sorcery, the would-be assassin said with contempt. Ordinarily, I'd consider that a mark in your favor, Erlen told the boy. She eyed him sternly and ordered him to drink up. After one final suspicious glance at Danilo, the young assassin complied. The bleeding slowed, and color began to return to his face. Erlen folded her arms across her chest. You've been following me since Imskar. Why? I do not know what you're talking about, he said flatly. She drew the assassin's blade from her boot and held it out. Maybe you'd like to explain why you killed that thug at the tavern. You speak nonsense, Hesha said with scorn. That is the knife I threw at you just now. No, it isn't, Danilo said, producing an identical knife from the bag at his waist. I picked up your knife before I strolled over. By the way, have you any idea how close you came to skewering my horse? Erlen took the knife from the mage and studied the blades. Both were carved with a school of stealth's mark, but the weapons differed subtly in weight and balance. She flipped the knives over. The one that had killed the tavern fighter was scored with dozens of small carvings, while Hashis was smooth and unblemished. If the unmarked knife told a true story, the young assassin had not killed before. The half-elf looked up at Danilo. There are two assassins, she said quietly. Oh, marvelous, the nobleman said wryly. I'm traveling with the most popular woman in Tether. She ignored him and said to Hashith, where is your partner? I have none, he said. If you met another assassin this night, what of it? Assassins are common enough around at taverns. But knives like this are not, Erlen persisted. Someone from the School of Stealth wanted to keep me alive back at the tavern. Why? That I cannot tell you, but I owe him a debt. Hashis said bluntly. If you had died at the hands of that drunken oaf, I would have been cheated of my sand-hue sash. Erlen Danilo exchanged a puzzled look. You're talking nonsense, the half-elf observed derisively, hoping to draw more information from the boy. Hashis' eyes flashed as he took Erlen's bait. Ignorant barbarian, I don't know how northern assassins assess merit, but here, each level of skill is marked by a different color sash. To advance, one must stalk and slay an assassin of the next level. His rank then becomes yours. You are my assignment, of course. Only Danilo saw the stricken look that flashed briefly into Erlen's eyes. The half-elf had long ago earned the reputation of an assassin, a reputation that had proved as dangerous as it was undeserved. Erlen had worked long and hard to rise above her dark past, only to be confronted with it time and time again. No offense, Hashis, Danilo drawled, but did it ever occur to you that you might have skipped over a few levels here? That is absurd, Hashis said haughtily. The school's master would not mock me in that manner. They wouldn't dare, huh? A reflective look crossed Erlen's face. Where do you hail from, Hashis? My home is Zazapur, if that's what you mean. But you have the look of a Kalshite, she noted. Perhaps your mother was from Camelport? Is this a state dinner that we make polite conversation? Hashis asked sharply. I am your prisoner. Kill me if you will, but don't trouble with me or woman's chatter. Charming kid, Danilo murmured. Nice of him to suggest such an attractive option. Can we take him up on it? Erlen shook her head. Hashis will ride with us to Zazapur. It was hard to miss the relief in the boy's black eyes. Sorry, Hashis, but you'll have to find some other way of earning your sash. A wise man knows when the battle is lost, the boy agreed. Danilo regarded the captive warily, noting the sly twist to his lips and the smooth insincerity to his tone. His gaze shifted back to Erlen. Her lovely face was inscrutable, but she was obviously up to something. Since Danilo had no idea what her plan might be, he had little choice but to play along. He did not have to be happy about it, though. Marvelous, he muttered, just loud enough for Erlen's elven ears to pick up. We've adopted a pet adder. And that's it for today. To be continued next week, episode 92, we will continue reading this story with Erlen, called The Bargain from Realms of Valor. If you like more stories like this, you can find more storytime readings on previous episodes. In fact, the last two weeks were a story from this particular book, and most of the ones I've done before are fairy tales that are illustrated books that I'm often reading to my daughter. Today I was also reading to her, but she fell asleep. But there's many been more on previous episodes. You can find them all on, if you just go to iTunes and look under the 13th Hour Podcast, you'll find this episode and many more. as well as the website, which is 13thhr.wordpress.com. You can download all of the episodes there, and you can check out the show notes, which has links to many more things related to this. You can sign up for the mailing list there and get updates regarding free things, including a preview of The 13th Hour, which is, of course, the podcast takes its name from, which is the book, as well as its accompanying soundtrack. So you can check that out in the show notes for this episode and all the others. So I will see you guys next week. Take care. Talk to you later. And thanks for listening. Bye.